Okie dokie, folks, and welcome to the Backbreaker Media Network. This is Monday Night Shaw. I am your host, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. The Canadian Goose. And on the show today, it is my tag team partner, Barricade. Barricade, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Pretty decent, you know. I have not recorded any podcasts for about a week now. Last time I did, it was with Thaddeus Archer,
who we
both know, and we ended up talking for quite a long time. I'm hoping that this one doesn't go super long like that one did, but...
I don't think... How long did you go? I think you said 3 hours or something?
Yeah, we went 3 hours, so we ended up... I chopped it in half, so we posted up the first half of the interview this week, and then the next half is going up on Monday.
Nice. I'll have to take a listen to that.
Yeah, you definitely came up during the show. Might as well why don't we use that as a jumping off point, because you for a long time have been like a behind the scenes force in wrestling for RCW as well, like doing you know, posters, doing graphics art, that kind of stuff, like all the art you guys see at the beginning of all the Uprising shows and stuff, that's like, you know, pairs the two guys off together. That's all made by Barricade here. So
yeah, I've been
how did you get involved in that sort of stuff and transition over to how you got involved into the doing the Archer Report?
Well, so I started with RCW, it would have been 2004. So I've been around since, not since day one, but pretty much since day two. And I started working with posters and stuff not too long after that. And all pretty much self-taught with all that. I've done the posters. I've done graphics. I've helped create logos for some of the wrestlers, for some of their merchandise. I've done some audio editing for like producing entrance themes for guys like Slammer and things like that.
Nice.
I recorded my own entrance theme at one point for one of my other characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was a period of time. That was a different period. That was Ted Danson days. But, you know, I've done video editing, production, stuff like that. Oh, it's been... pretty much the entire time. I started doing camera work and video stuff with a promotion called Canadian Championship Wrestling back in 2002. And I've just kind of evolved since then over time. I've done work for some spot shows for some other promotions. I've done pretty much all of RCW's stuff for consistently, probably I'd say for, 16 out of the 17 years. Doing a lot of stuff with video editing right now, and that kind of ties into how I got involved with doing the Archer Report stuff. Thaddeus came on with us, I think, I want to say 10 years ago now, when we were back running out of Glengarry, and he was our ring announcer to start. And as he evolved over time, we became better friends and closer and that whatnot, and we picked up, he wanted to do the Archer Report idea, and I was all for it. So I've been down on Archer Report stuff for the entire time, even when he's working for other promotions. We'll still work together, collaborate on the Archer Report, and try and make some indie magic.
Right on, buddy. That's great. I mean, it's come clear to me that so everything is self-taught. You learned all this just from trying to learn how to make your shit look like WWE stuff.
I try to make it look better if I can. It depends. When I first started doing stuff, this would have been probably on paint, on like Windows Paint, the old school stuff, where I would go and remove every pixel, like every like bitmap style down to the pixel to try and make it as best as I can. And I was actually reflecting on some of my earlier work, even stuff from 2011 back for Glengarry and stuff. And back then I thought it was really good. And I realize now that in hindsight, it wasn't all that good. But one thing I've tried to always focus on details, on like little details. I've seen other promotions where they do, like you were talking about the match screens for the Uprising videos and stuff, and I've seen some really, really good stuff, and I've seen some really, really lazy stuff where people will put a wrestler on their match screen and to put them on the right side of the screen when the photo was taken facing one direction, they literally just took the same picture and flipped it when the guy has tattoos that are very visible and very distinct as far as which direction they normally go, and they just flipped it. And that's not WWE. It's a company that has, like, you know, relatively large television, and they were doing that, and I'm like, wow, that's, you can't put a little bit more effort, take a picture facing the other direction at the same time when you're shooting some shots.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it both ways. Like, I can see trying to make the best of what you have. That's definitely an independent wrestling thing for sure. But also, like, it does only take like 2 minutes to snap a picture.
Yeah, and that was not even an independent company doing that. That was the part I found pretty funny.
Oh, okay. But, well, yeah. No. Like, if that's like TNA is doing that or something, then
you might have nailed it with that one right there, but. That's what it was.
I've definitely seen some dodgy, like, dodgy graphics and artwork from TNA.
They've definitely stepped up their game, though. They definitely have a lot better product as far as that stuff goes. But yeah, back to being self-taught. Yeah, it's pretty much just learn as much as I can. Lately, like the last few years, YouTube tutorial videos, stuff like that has helped. Just having time and patience, and I've gotten fairly good at putting together fairly good content fairly quickly as well. So
solid. So you must have like found a program that you like to use and just like delved like full into learning on how to work with
it. Yeah, right now I use Photoshop. Is my go-to for pictures and stuff like that, for the posters and whatnot. There's open source stuff you can use that does pretty much the same thing. So yeah, it's just grab it and plug away, and just you keep getting better.
Solid. Is there any posters that you are particularly proud of?
I can send them to you later, but there's one a few years back. Man, holy crap, I'm showing my age. I think this is probably nine years ago. It was for a show called Assault, and I'd done some photography myself for some of the guys, and this poster was Slammer, and he's got his hands really, like, his arms extended out, and he's kind of like, almost looks like he's grabbing something, so I put the title in his hands, so his hands were like feeding through it, kind of thing. Looked like he was actually holding it up.
Okay.
And then there was one more recently. I think Thaddeus might have just shared it. It's where he's the puppet master in the background, and he's holding up the strings of like DNA looking strings, and it's I think Gunnar was on it. I think might have been Big Jess possibly on the other side of it. I can't really remember, but I was able to take the pictures, and using the program, I was able to manipulate them, and I had take some photos for me so they could line up with the poster, with the theme and that type of stuff. So kind of from planning to execution, it was kind of my brainchild with a little bit of collaboration there from Thaddeus.
Nice. I believe I did see that one. It's very like cinematic looking, you know? That's one of the things I like about your posters, is it's not just like a blank background with like some shitty, like, you know, whatever picture the promoter could find, just, you know, a blank background with like,
It depends how fast you need the poster done. And sometimes those posters work depending on the what you're going for with the show and with the message, the if you wanted to convey like the best photography on the poster, you could leave it simple with a black background. But if you want to have a little bit more for the eyes to look at, you want to put a little bit more a little more thought behind it.
Yeah, because I mean, that's a thing. Like legitimately, there are some bad independent wrestling posters. Like, you see them the time.
I've been guilty of that myself. I did do a poster for one show where I forgot to put the venue on it. that was oh man, that would have been, I want to say 2005 or 2006. Yeah, 2006, because I just started wrestling. So
did it affect the draw of the show?
A combination of things affected the draw of the show. we'll put it at that.
Fair enough. All right.
Still a fun time. Still a great time. But yeah.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's delve into your wrestling. How your wrestling? You said you started that around 2002.
Yeah. So. It takes a bit of a wind and a bit of a turn. So I trained originally back in 2000 with Rick Bogner. He used to be a big titan in FMW, and more notably and infamously the fake Razor Ramon when he came into WWF there a long time back.
Okay.
Originally trained with him back in 2000, like in his first class. Moved up to Edmonton and kind of rode off wrestling because the significant other at the time was not a fan of me doing this. So I put it on the back burner, and then I would happen to be driving by Norwood Legion, our current venue, and on their signboard outside it had said CCW Wrestling. And I'm like, what? I didn't know there was wrestling. So I contacted the Legion and then contacted the promoter, asked him if I could come down and do some video stuff, because I had done some work for Shaw TV when I lived in Cranbrook. And
okay.
So really quick detour. Back in 1999, I was filming doing a live shoot for a children's carnival at the high school field. And I noticed a bunch of really weird looking guys loading a bunch of stuff into the gymnasium. Now, I had no experience with indie wrestling other than seeing All-Star Wrestling when they came to my hometown when I was like 12. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at this weird stuff. I'm like, what is that? So I walked over because I was curious, and they were doing Ring Crew. Okay. And this was my first taste of how frugal indie promoters can be. I went over to the promoter and I asked if I could bring a camera and film the event. And he was extremely happy and very happy that he could get this filmed for free. So I ran back to the TV truck. I grabbed the camera, E&G camera. I grabbed a wireless microphone, and I was up in the weight room loft above the gymnasium, and I filmed the event with one camera. I had a wireless mic, two guys doing commentary, took it back to the studio that night, edited it together, threw it, gave them a copy before they left town in the morning. I guess this isn't a short little detour, but anyways. That was my first experience. That was ECCW, the company based out of Vancouver.
Oh, okay. I was never aware that they ever came out this far.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. They've actually been to my hometown since then. But guys on that show is like Juggernaut and Chance Beckett, Michelle Starr, Orderly, Tornado Tony Kazina, Torch, who's Adam Firestorm.
The Disco Fury.
Yeah, Disco Fury was on there. He worked with, I want to say, the Prophet. Maybe that was Chance Beckett. I don't remember. Either way, one of the guys, Prophet had stolen my bike and got a flat tire. But so then 3 weeks later, Stampede Wrestling had come to town for their first tour since Owen had passed.
Okay.
And I was able to get my boss at the TV station to let me take the television mobile truck, and we filmed it with three cameras and an audio tech and the whole thing live at the arena. And then I had it all packed together and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's wild.
That my first taste of the wrestling part actually happened there, because they had a 10-man bunkhouse battle tag match, elimination tag. And in that match, on the one side, it was Dirty Dick Reigns, who's now Duke Durango. Okay. And Red Thunder was up on the corner, and he was giving them the 10 punch.
All right.
And I was the ringside camera guy, and Dirty Duke there shot Thunder over the top rope, and he bounced off of me.
Oh, no.
And all I heard was this smack sound, and it was Thunder hitting my camera, and I looked down, and Thunder's on the floor. So after the show, I was looking for Thunder to make sure he was okay. He was looking for me to make sure I was okay. And yeah, it was actually a pretty neat experience. I ended up giving him a copy of the show a couple of years later when I ran into him in Edmonton here.
Was the camera okay?
Oh, the camera was fine. They're sturdy. Oh, but yeah, okay. So
that's good. So I borrowed the television truck and all the expensive television camera equipment, and
I destroyed it all.
Yeah.
So I guess that was a
Red Thunder did a high spot, and
that was the short little long detour. So I trained in Calgary with Titan, moved up here, started working with CCW, and then because the wife at the time did not enjoy that I wanted to wrestle, it was just a backstage role. So when I started with RCW, I was the ring announcer, and I would work out at the shows, and I would bump around and like roles and stuff like this, because I wanted badly to get back into it. Mm-hmm. And then in 06, we were doing a weekend shot in Thorsby at their arena, and I was bumping and stuff before the show, and Mahler from BC, he comes up to me and he goes, I want to wrestle you in a match. I'm like, but the wife won't like it. And he's like, no, you're gonna wrestle me in a match, don't tell her. And I'm like, at the time she ran the website for the company, so she would know when the results came up, when the results came up that I was wrestling. So long story short, she digressed, she was fine, whatever, wrestle. So I ordered some elbow pads off High Spots, and I figured I'd get a couple of training sessions in the ring with them before shows, and just to kind of get the flow of it. And the next show I showed up to, my elbow pads showed up in the mail that day, and I was in the second match on the card that night as the ring announcer. He challenged me in an open contract match and said, you can challenge anybody. So he picked me. So that's how I started. I was originally Ted Venom, and then I'm off to the races into wrestling.
So you started out as a ring announcer. That's yeah. Wild.
Yeah, I started out as a ring announcer. On my first show, I was in Smoky Lake, and we did a tournament for the championship. And we were waiting for the new ring that had just been bought to be brought in from Saskatchewan. And it was late. The ring got there at bell time. I think we had that ring up in about 45 minutes, and then we had the show. And my first show, I was ring announcing and cutting promos for hyping up this tournament. And I hadn't touched, it had been a year and a half or 2 years since I'd even touched a microphone. I ring announced one time before that. So I was like, okay, here you go. Here's the microphone.
Yeah.
Cut a promo. Yeah. So, yeah, trial by fire.
That's definitely how it kind of goes, eh? Is
you just, it is.
You just sort of mention one day, oh, I would like to try this. And then, you know, the promoter's hired up for somebody, and he's just like, oh, so-and-so mentioned they wouldn't mind giving it a try. Let's try them out and see how it goes.
Sometimes it worked out. We've been really fortunate over the years to have some really, really good ring announcers who just kind of happened by it, happened into it, and you can count yourself in that group for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Like I still consider myself to be like a ring announcer, just because I feel like it's a skill I can fall back on, especially like
if I
ever have to, like, you know, if I ever get a horrible injury or something and I can't wrestle.
You know, hopefully not, but there was even that one spell when you had your foot and was in a boot there, you did ring announcing.
Yeah.
It's a tool to have in the toolbox. It's always handy to be able to have that.
Yeah, and then, like, I think it is a thing that once you do have somebody, like, that's skilled at doing it, it's important to keep that person's contact information, at least, just because.
Oh, definitely.
We've had some pretty like gnarly ring announcers too.
Well, and you can also turn that into other things. Like, I'd say one of the best ring announcers around is What About Ivan with PWA.
100%.
He's I'm not, I don't know his whole story on how he got started, but he's turned into a fantastic ring announcer, and he's turned that into other opportunities with other promotions and other events, stuff like that. So
he's really like, I had him on the podcast, and so he talked to me about some of the like incredibly cool opportunities he's had. And
I think he did an MMA show in my hometown, actually.
Yeah,
of all
he
places.
Told me he did MMA fights and
five-star fight league or something like that.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. I was like, yeah, that's like even like you say, like it's something you can, you know, maybe one day I can go and announce on MMA fights or something, you know. Like it's,
why
it's
not?
It's a cool skill to have, ring announcing. I definitely. Yeah, and I do think that it helped prepare me for wrestling, you know, like...
Oh, it definitely gets you comfortable in front of people and in the ring and all that.
Yeah, just like, there's a lot of crowd work involved in ring announcing, you know? Like,
definitely.
A lot.
You're most of the times you're the first guy the crowd sees, so if you come off flat and terrible...
Yeah, it's...
You don't usually last long, or you're... close with somebody who's in the company, and that's how you last long, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no. And I mean, it is a thing. Like, when I first started doing ring announcing, Alex told me, like, hey, make sure you're not outshining the wrestlers and stuff. So I was real trepidatious about the whole thing, right? Like, really trying not to overstep my bounds or, you know, outshine any of the wrestlers and whatnot. And it made for a pretty bad thing. And I just eventually was like, you know, I'd much rather be told, hey, you're going to have to bring it down a little, you know, like rein it in a bit, like rather than
definitely.
You're not doing good enough. You know, I'd rather be told, hey, calm down a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have your own, not persona necessarily, but have your own presence in the ring so that people still want to pay attention to what you're saying. And the wrestlers will do their job and outshine the ring announcer.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think... Don't, like, if you're the ring announcer and you're outshining the wrestlers, I think that says more about the wrestlers than it does about your ring announcing.
I think you figured out what I was saying, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And that was... So I eventually just learned to disregard all the advice that Alex ever gave me.
I think that might be a smart decision.
Became pretty good at wrestling ring announcing.
There you go.
Yeah. So with that started, when you started as Ted Venom, is that your first gimmick? And then how did you transition into, Ted Danson is one of
your
gimmicks too.
Here we go down the gimmick rabbit hole here. So I started, I came up with the name Ted Venom, but a ton of years ago, like 2004 when I first started.
And wasn't Vince Russo's name something Venom?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. I thought, no clue. Okay, so you didn't steal that from Vince Russo.
No, the reason I came with Ted Venom is I'd come up with the initials TV, and it was kind of like a rip on the old must-see TV that used to be on Friday nights or whatever, the TV shows, their category, although this is must see TV, so I was going to call myself the real must see TV Ted Venom.
Okay,
that was kind of the catchphrase I came up with, so that's where that came from. I wrestled a handful of matches as that, and then a good buddy of mine, Chris Wayne, him and I worked together to start a promotion called Western Canadian Championship Wrestling, and he wanted me to use a different name. He wanted me to come up with this dance. He came up with this idea of taking off of the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, out of the States. So more like the music playing, the dancing, the fun, jiving, just kind of cheesy over the top thing. So I went with Teddy Valiant was my original dancing character name.
Okay.
And then we were out and I did the first tour that CWE ran out in Manitoba.
Well, is there not already a wrestler called Teddy Valiant?
I don't know if there was a wrestler named Teddy Valiant. I know that was my name in 07.
Oh, okay. I seem to recall like hearing that name before, and I'm pretty sure I was not in reference to you.
I have no idea. There's Jimmy Valiant and Johnny Valiant.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's who I'm thinking of then.
Yeah. So I went out to do a tour for CWE, their first one, and I was Teddy Valiant on the first show, the Big Apple, and we were at an after party. And I think it would have been Tommy Lee Curtis. And I know Heavy Metal was there. And I can't remember which one. And I'm sure after they hear the podcast, they'll correct me. I think it was Heavy Metal looked at me and he goes, "You're Ted Danson." And TLC probably, or vice versa, one of them said, "He looks nothing like Ted Danson." You know, the guy from Cheers, the 70-year-old guy from Cheers.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, Ted Danson. And he makes this Fandango-looking dancing move. And that's where the name Ted Danson came from. And it just stuck for that character. And then I was wrestling locally as Barricade. And I don't know, I played off, so I had some kind of mental break. And then I switched over to Ted Danson.
Really?
Because I
always assumed that Ted Danson was something you did prior to becoming Barricade.
No, so how I got Barricade, actually, I was essentially doing both characters at the same time. So I was Teddy Valiant in 07, and that kind of progressed the dancing character. And then there was a short-lived promotion that ran for about a year here called Old School Championship Wrestling. And the guys running it there, he messaged me and asked me if I wanted to come in and do a battle royal, and he had this idea for a character.
Okay.
And he pitched this idea. The character's name was Barricade, and I would do a series of matches over time where I would go for my big avalanche, and I'd miss all the time, and I'd lose quick. Like, I've lost to a roll-up. I lost to, like, a flapjack, I've lost to a schoolboy, I've lost to powder in the eyes and a roll-up, all kinds of stuff. And eventually I'd get the big payoff where I beat the big heel in 3 seconds. He did it was a Million Dollar Man kind of character. He'd come out and he'd do this moneymaker challenge, and then I beat him super quick, and then he paid me off to join his corporation, so to speak.
Okay.
So that's where Barricade came from. So that was in 2009, 2010 is when I started as Barricade. But when Danny had me come in for CWE, he wanted me to come in as the dancing character instead. So that's where that came from. I was doing Barricade already. And then Danny had me come in for him. And then after a while, back in Edmonton, I decided... I think it was 2012, I think. I did Ted Danson again for a bit. And I was actually able to work with Big Daddy V when he was in town for a couple of shows. And that was a lot of fun. I worked on him in that match. That was a triple threat. It was so much fun.
So who all was in that? You and Big Daddy V, and who else?
Andre Williams. This big Will from Calgary. Super fun.
Big French fella?
Yeah. Yeah, big. Oh, such a solid guy. Great time in that match. Just so ridiculous and over the top. And yeah,
it sounds like a good time for sure.
Oh yeah, I've definitely had a lot of opportunities to work with some really, really cool guys over the time I've been working for this in this crazy game.
Yeah, who are some of the other big name guys that you've had a chance to step in the ring with?
I was in a tag match with. Holy crow, with Gangrel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Who else? Well, my all-time favorite tag team, my favorite wrestlers growing up were Demolition, and they came to town for the first Rise of Legends show, and locally in Edmonton, they wrestled against the Supreme Adonis, Heavy Metal, and Tommy Lee Curtis, and then we did a show out in Rimby, and it was a six-man tag, where I got the team with Demolition, and we went against Slammer, Evan Inferno, and Steve Rivers in a six-man tag. And that was an amazing experience too, working with those guys. So.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. Like demolition from like, you know, everyone's childhood. And like,
Axe and Smash were my two favorite guys, and they were.
Did you get to come out like to their entrance music with them and stuff? Or
yeah, if I recall correctly, yeah, we came out all together with their music and. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Here comes and here comes Barricade.
I guess, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no, it was great times. We picked them up at the airport and just, you know, hung out and picked their brains and stuff like that. And just, it was just really good experience.
Yeah, 100%. And those guys have been in the business both for like 50 years apiece. At that time. So like you must have got so much just like stories and just stuff.
Yeah, it was really good. It was definitely a really positive experience. Like I've had like with them, I worked with Big Vis and Gangrel, and I'd say honestly one of the more intimidating, a couple of the more intimidating moments in wrestling is when I wrestled with guys that I either hadn't met yet or I was unfamiliar with. I was like intimidated because. Mm-hmm. They're really, really, really good. Like, we had the same tour that Big Daddy V was on. We did a show in Keewan, and there was direction issues getting to the venue. There's all kinds of issues, and because we were running super late, the card got super mixed up and it had to be rearranged and stuff. And then I was doing the Ted Danson thing, and right before. Like basically bell time, right after the ring got set up, I got told, "Okay, you're working with Wavell in the opener," and I'm like, "Oh damn, okay, sure." And I had no idea. We didn't have a chance to like go over anything, which I'm generally normally used to and stuff like this. And yeah, I mean,
so you to call it on the fly, and
I just had to listen to Wavell. And he. It's fantastic. Like I was intimidated because he's been to, you know, WWE. He's been all over, and it was so much fun working with him. The few times I've been able to do that, and the other guy, the company that my buddy Chris and I had started, we were running up in Fairview at the gymnasium at Nate up there, and I show up and I'm booked with Andy Anderson, and I'd never met Andy before. And all I knew is that he'd been to WWE, been to Ring of Honor. At one point, I think he might have been either the MPW champion or like featured with MPW. And I didn't know what his opinion of typically RCW guys were or whatever. So I was a bit intimidated. And Andy is fantastic. Andy's one of the best people that I've met in this business. And yeah, working with him was awesome. It was just a great experience. And, you know, I've been hoping to be able to work with him again at some other point on other stuff. Maybe, who knows, like mm-hmm. if he's got stuff he wants to do or whatever. Yeah, he's a great dude.
Was there like a stigma on RCW guys at the time?
No, not so much then. I think we'd started. This was only about 2008. We'd started to get past that. I think, way, way, way back.
Yeah.
There was some issues from other camps that, you know, maybe some of the RCW guys weren't the best. And admittedly, back in the day, like when I started, I was green as goose shit, so to speak. And there was some other wrestlers who were just flat out terrible.
Yeah.
Who shouldn't have even been given the opportunity, and you know, and understandably so, and they were not very good, and so other people from other companies would see this and then laugh at it or whatever. So it kind of like stuck for a while. Okay. But I think we've well since gotten past that. But at the time I was still kind of like, I was only a year and a half in on a very light schedule, right?
Yeah, so, for sure. And I mean, like, it's RCW's come a long way since, you know, one show a month type thing where Squig's just using whoever the heck he can find, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely changed a lot since then. So I was still in the back of my mind a little worried about that, but no, Andy was great. Like we've worked a few times for WCCW, and every time it's just been a lot of fun.
How did you get involved in doing the shows for Danny Duggan for the CWE shows?
You know what? I got very fortunate, and I had a driver's license, and he needed somebody to drive metal and a referee out to Manitoba. I'll be honest, my in-ring work has definitely improved over the years. I was on that show because I could get people to that show, to that tour. Okay. And it was funny because when I got the call to do it, and I definitely have earned my spot now. I got the call and I was at work, and my boss at the time, she's a cruise ship lounge singer. Okay. As in her real life, she's actually a helicopter pilot lounge singer.
What?
If you get a chance, check out A Girl Named Jake. She is fantastic. But anyways,
I should have her on the podcast.
You know what? I'll message her and see if she wants to come on. Why not? So anyways, I get short notice call for this, and I ask her, and she's a performer, so she knows the deal. She's like, yeah, do it. Go. At the time, I didn't have a car, but they thought I did.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't have a car because I didn't pay my bills, and it got repoed. So I ain't shy. I'm at the repo man.
He tag teamed with him. Isn't he one of the demolition guys?
he damn right he is. So anyways, being a superhero, he rented us a car so we could take it out to Manitoba. So I drove because I was the driver, but rented us a car so we could get out there, do Danny's tour, and get back.
Nice. Was on the show too?
No, he didn't even go. He rented us the car. I've been very fortunate to meet some really great people in the wrestling business, and is right up there with them, like with the tops as well.
I would 100% agree with that. I mean, we're throwing around the word a lot, and people are going, "Who the fuck are they talking about?" And it's the Omen, Gabriel Lestat, affectionately known as by his friends, and he's not only fantastic in the ring, but is like a fantastic human being as well.
He's great people for sure.
Yeah, one of my favorites for sure. You know, like anytime, like even if you ever go to go to watch like events at wrestling events at Beercade and stuff, he's like always there, making sure you're comfortable and you have a drink and everything. And
oh yeah,
yeah.
No, he's great. Yeah, that's how I got hooked up with CWE. That's how I got that tour. And
he's a fantastic podcast guest too, because I swear to God, I asked him like 3 questions and he talked for an hour.
you let wrestlers talk, they'll talk until their tongue falls off pretty much.
Yeah.
So that was how I got to CWE. I've actually been fortunate enough. Like a lot of things have come full circle, which has been pretty great. Like the first show I ever had any interaction with was ECCW in Cranbrook when I videotaped it. Mm-hmm. And then it would have been 2011. I did a show in Vancouver for them.
Oh, okay.
It was myself, Willie Saint, and Shane O'Ryan. He was the other guy who helped run who ran OSCW. We hopped in a rental car and we drove out to Vancouver for just a one shot and to catch a live WWE house show. And then drive back.
Oh, nice.
And what's that?
I was just going to... I was asking about who was in the main event of the house show.
I think... I don't remember the main, but the best match on the card was Tyson Kidd and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay. Because I'm trying to think.
That was the best.
I might have been there, but also 2011, by that time, they might have already started going like directly to Victoria.
Yeah, this would have been Vancouver at the Peony Coliseum.
Yeah, I've definitely been to like a house show or two at the PNE Coliseum because, like, I used to live in Victoria. So anytime I wanted to watch actual like WWE wrestling and stuff, you would have to go to Vancouver for that.
And
it would be hard to get tickets too, because especially if you're coming from the island. I remember they had one Raw that sold out in like half hour. Like, we lined up for tickets and we tried to get tickets for it, and
no luck.
Then the show aired and I was watching it, and that was the one where they had Kid Rock there.
And they
did like a live performance, and even like, you know, the midget Joe C was on the show and stuff.
Oh man, that would have been cool to see.
Yeah, I would have loved. I think Kane returned at that event too, and I was like, Kane was like one of my favorite wrestlers, so I watched the whole thing on TV, just being like so like sully that I couldn't actually be there live to watch it. That's awesome. I mean, ECCW has been running for a very long time too. That's like one of the wild things about you is that just how much longevity you've had in wrestling. Like,
it's been really great. Like the other full circle thing, I was talking about Cranbrook again, where Red Thunder had fallen on my head. A few years ago, I actually was able to work with Thunder one on one in a match. So nice. Like that was one of my highlights for sure, because Red Thunder, just again, a fantastic dude inside and out, inside and outside the business for sure.
100%. He came to do some like guest training at the Top Talent Wrestling Academy.
Nice. And
it was all really top notch, like great stuff to learn, you know.
He learned.
He's very focused on the basics and wants you to have like the basics down. So like there was a lot of like, you know, I think we spent like 45 minutes working on hip tosses and stuff, but it was a good time.
Nice.
And everybody, you know, got better at doing hip tosses for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You're talking about longevity, man. I've been, RCW's coming up on their 18th anniversary, and I've been around for 17 of those years.
Yeah, and it is interesting to me that you've always been one of the guys that has been on the CWE shows without, like, you know, because, you know, sometimes when CWE comes through town, you know, you get messages from, like, about loyalty and, you know, not working for other promotions and stuff like that, but it's just, that's never seemed to have had any effect on you.
I think over time, if my loyalty to RCW was ever questioned, I think someone would have to give their head a shake. I consider I do quite a bit for the company.
Yeah.
So if I pick up a Sunday when we don't have a show booked, then whatever, right? Like we're all independent wrestlers. You know, you can get a booking, you can take a booking, right? Yeah. If I've got a spot on my calendar that I already know that I'm working a show for RCW, and if Danny were to ask, then I'm already working for RCW that day. I do know that they're coming back through town by the sounds of it, and I've been asked and I'm on that show. I don't already have a booking with RCW that day, so yeah, I'll take it. And I still put a ton of effort into helping make RCW the best product I can. I've done some work with early on with Top Talent Wrestling Academy, trying to do some promotional materials for them. I've done stuff for a bunch of different guys. So I just want to make the wrestling business better as a whole. Mm-hmm. Primarily it is RCW. That's where I do the vast majority of my work. And don't think loyalty's ever been a concern from that end.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to like, because like there is that thing where you're just like, if you work for RCW, you're not supposed to wrestle for MPW or PWA or, you know.
That's a different, as they say, different kettle of fish on that one, so to speak. That's the local, the direct local. I don't know if competition's the right word. People are territorial in that regard.
Yeah.
I don't really.
You don't view CWE in that same sort of boat?
No, Not really. I don't think
just a touring thing that comes through every once in a while.
I don't really think any of the companies are really competition per se. The city has over 1 million people.
That's true.
And yes, there is a hardcore group of fans, but they usually go to every show. Yeah. Right? And if there's two shows on the same day, the split is fairly even and people draw their own crowd. Because there's a crew of people that will only go to Monster Pro because they only know that Monster Pro's around. There's a hardcore group of people that come to RCW that likely don't know that the other companies are around. There's a million people in the city. We could fight for the same 150, 200 people, or we can try and get the other 995,000, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really competition. It's getting eyes on wrestling. And, you know, the best thing we can do is try and get eyes on quality wrestling.
100%. And, like, I mean, just from the perspective of the actual, like, wrestlers, yeah, I think they have a different perspective than, like, the promoters, right? Like, anytime we do like, the out-of-town shows where it's, like, you know, anything goes, anyone from MPW or PWA can be on the show, like, it's always nice to see those guys. It's always nice to be, like, booked in a match against them, you know? Like,
yeah,
to work with somebody, like, new and fresh.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. And that's what that's the same thing. That's what I've noticed as well, is I've never seen really the heat or the territorialism, I guess is the right word, between the companies and between the boys. Because we're all out there trying to make a name for ourselves, trying to get better as performers. So if you work for MPW and you have an opportunity where comes up where you could do a show in like Red Deer or Radway or wherever, take it. Go learn from some new people. Go teach some people new, whichever. Like, get that opportunity to get better for yourself. And then if you bring that back to your, so, you know, quote unquote home promotion, that only makes that better.
Yeah, and I mean, things are all run in different ways and stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
backstage at a CWE show is a little bit different than backstage at an RCW show, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's just run in a different manner and stuff.
I think more so, you know, not to break like a fourth wall or anything. I think more so it's how the entire day is programmed. Like the locker room at an RCW show, the locker room at a CWE show, they're generally not really any different. It's just pretty much how the overall pace of the day goes, depending on, you know,
when
the ring truck gets there and who's running things and if the card's already been set out ahead of time or if the cards needs to be adjusted on the fly or that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, generally with like a CWE show where they're coming through and they're you know, they're doing a tour of sometimes up to like 30 dates, like they're going to have a much more planned out like strategy than they would, you know, where it's
as
like
best they can. They need it planned down to the minute because they need to know how much gas they're going to need. They need to know how much, like when they're going to have to get to the hotel, how many hotel rooms they've got or where the guys are crashing or, you know, when they can get packed up and head to the next town.
Yeah.
If the ring truck has to leave that night or if the ring truck can wait to go in the morning, that kind of stuff. There's so many logistical steps to running things. And I've had a hand in that to a point when I was working with Chris. I wasn't the money guy by any means, but I know what it takes from the production end of things, how to run an event smoothly from start to finish. And it ain't easy.
No. Is that something you've you have any interest in doing? Like, have you ever had, the thought to go out and start your own wrestling company?
Oh, God, no. So, no, I don't want to start my own promotion by any means.
No.
I've looked at trying to get RCW into other avenues before, and at the time the product wasn't the right product for where I was trying to for it to go.
Okay.
And it has definitely changed a lot since then. So I may be able to explore that option again if I can make the right phone calls. It's not, I'm not blowing smoke. I have nothing happening at the moment. It's something that I tried before that I may want to try again at some point. And it's not so much bringing an RCW show to these people. It's bringing live wrestling to these people. And
It
I
just
already, I legitimately have a list of the guys that I would want to have on this on this event. And yeah, it would just be like really cool to be able to do it, but it's just a matter of, do I want to put the time in to try and make it happen?
I hear you. So, would that be sort of like a situation where you like lease the ring from Squig and do it that way, or just kind
Probably
of
that
hook
that's
Squig up with the information like, hey, these people are interested in running a show, here's their information.
back when I did do it, we had a meeting with the folks, and it was myself, and it was Squig, and it was, I believe, his dad was there, and we invited them to come check out a show to see if it was something they were interested in buying. Unfortunately, and they weren't even concerned about ticket sales. They didn't want to worry. They didn't need to worry about, did we sell enough? Did we sell tickets to look like a viable product or anything? It would have been, if they were on board, they would have paid to bring the show to their venue, and then their people would just come watch it.
Yeah.
And they came to a show that unfortunately was terrible.
Oh no.
There was some good talent on it, and then there was some talent on it that was not very good and did some really dumb things, and
God,
it
I
just
hope
was
it
not good.
wasn't my match that turned him
Oh
away.
no, this was 2005. This was a long time ago.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that wasn't my fault then.
No, not even close. But no, nobody involved in that works for RCW or has for quite a while,
Oh,
and nobody involved is around anywhere.
well, I mean that's good if they're going to be, causing shows to be so poor that, they're ruining potential business opportunities. That's
Yeah.
not a good thing for sure.
No, not
Hopefully
really.
those people have learned to wrestle since or are
Oh no, they don't
no
wrestle.
longer wrestlers.
Never were.
Oh, okay.
Nice dudes, nice dudes. Don't get me wrong, they were nice dudes, but they were not wrestlers. And yeah,
Okay, well,
I'll leave it at
maybe
that.
performing on a wrestling show wasn't probably the best idea then.
Possibly not.
it sounds like, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like we're, trying to hype the hype up backyard wrestling or anything. That's not really what we're about. Like, I mean,
No.
yeah, like we're both trained guys and have spent a lot of time working on our craft and stuff. So like it is like an important message to put out there that if you want to wrestle, you should go through the proper channels and be
There's
trained. 'Cause
good,
like
yeah, there's right now, if you're local to Edmonton, you want to get to Top Talent Wrestling Academy for sure. Calgary's got Alberta Wrestling Academy's opened up down there. You've got Pure Power has a facility going down there.
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with what's going on out in Vancouver because it's been a long time since I've been out there,
I
but
believe they have like the like the Young Lions,
Lion's Den,
yeah,
something like
Lions
that.
Den
Yeah, you're
Dojo.
right. There, that would be a good place to go out there.
I mean,
I don't
Monster
yeah.
Pro has produced a lot of reputable workers and stuff too, and they're also in Edmonton. I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm biased
I honestly
towards Top
forgot
Talent, but
I honestly forgot that they had a camp.
yeah,
And
have
that's
you?
not even a slight to them, but I just forgot they even had a camp.
I mean, you've been around for a long time. Have you ever wrestled for Monster Pro or had any like interactions with their promoters and stuff?
I actually did the show I did up in Fairview with Andy. I think the night before I was on a show, Massive Damage was on that one as well. We had a lot of guys that had worked with Massive before, so he had come in work for Chris and my company there. When they did the first memorial show for Ripper when he passed. I did a security gimmick for that. I did a security gimmick, like a pull apart at one of their shows. I was going to go get some more training with Monster Pro after a couple months after that Ripper show, the first Ripper show. And things just didn't pan out. I'm going to pretty much leave that at that.
That's fair. I mean, I don't know what the situation was or whatever, but if you want to leave it at that, then that's fair, 100%.
Yeah.
And then has your only involvement in PWA been your Archer Report contributions, or have you had an opportunity to wrestle for them
No, I didn't wrestle for – I haven't ever wrestled for PWA. Back in 2000 – at the end of 2002 – when CCW folded, PWA had been running for I think a year and a half, and I had reached out to Kurt and I did video. I helped out. Basically, I was gonna work with them and do some video stuff for them because that was before I was wrestling. Mm-hmm. I was gonna come in and be a video guy to help with them. So the one show I did do with them, I showed up in the morning. I helped tear the ring down at their training facility that they did have at the time. We took it to Nate. We set it back up there. I did some running around. I drove a couple of their talents. I had to go pick up one of their talents from their shoot job. Came back and helped out with setting up the rest of the show. And then I did ringside camera for that one event. And things just didn't really pan out. I had a lot of stuff going on in the shoot world, so it just didn't work out at the time. I had reached out a long, long time ago, right after I'd started, to possibly work with PWA. And I admittedly myself, I wasn't ready at the time. I was still brand new. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd reached out and the answer was no. And I understood that. It stung a little for sure to start with, but you know, since then long time ago, I didn't, you know, understand that I wasn't at that point or at that level. And I think over time, you know, like I work for RCW right now, and I consider myself a good enough worker that I could perform on any show.
Yeah.
But right now I'm with RCW, and that's, yeah.
I haven't heard anything to the contrary of you. You know, I haven't heard that you're looking to like leave or anything. Hopefully.
Oh yeah. Oh, God, no. I'm good.
Yeah. Me and you actually became tag team partners and have been contending for the championships.
I've had an interesting run with tag team wrestling in RCW for sure. I was tag team champions. I think it would have been 2011 with my partner Kato. And actually, we tagged originally with OSCW, and as part of that group that originally was run by the Moneymaker. And after I beat him and we did that angle in that one show, he quit the business.
Oh boy,
he came back for a couple matches I think last year, but other than that, he hasn't.
Who is this that quit the business?
I'm not trying to throw shade or anything. The timing was hilarious, but it was Adrian Walls. He was wrestling for OSCW, and we did that Moneymaker spot, and then the next show I was aligned with Headmaster Joe, who's Jumping Joe from Regina.
Okay.
Joe and Rex.
Okay.
He was headmaster. Vendetta. Yeah. Joey Vendetta. He was Headmaster Joe for a while. And really? with High Impact Wrestling, I think it was out of Saskatchewan. So then he came in as part of a group called the Faculty in OSCW. And Kato and I were the tag team of that stable. So then when we started running in the city here for RCW, we were a tag team called Barricado. and then we were the tag champs. And then I didn't really do much tag wrestling for quite a while. And then a couple of years ago, there was another guy who had matching gear, matching colored gear. So we got put together. It was me and Dean Richter, because he had black and yellow trunks. So then we're a tag team. Then we win the tag titles there. And then now I'm in kind of an odd couple tag team with the Goose, which is actually a lot of fun. So, yeah, it's been a weird roller coaster, but I'm definitely down.
Yeah, it's I haven't enjoyed our matches together as well. You know, it's pretty fun because, like, I don't know, you don't seem to have any trouble getting the crowd going, and I don't really have a lot of trouble getting the crowd going. So they tend to be pretty rowdy during our matches, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty great. Like, I almost find it a bit of a competition in a way to try and get them louder for me or louder for you. Sometimes it's easier to get them going for you, and because all I got to do is put my hand up and honk like you do, and they come unglued, and people like yelling barricade. And you know, I'm realistic. I know where my strengths lie in the ring. It's definitely on the larger than life, you know, cartoon type character. And you know, like, I'll leave some of the fancier stuff to the guys that can do it. You know, I can chain wrestle. It looks really, really weird. And the last time I did like an actual longer sequence of chain wrestling, the crowd kind of just was confused. So, you know, I'm more of the kick somebody, punch somebody, throw somebody across the ring, you know, throw in a few moves in here and there, like, oh, you know, maybe like a T-bone explode or like an exploder suplex, stuff like that.
Yeah. Didn't we try to get you to do a springboard arm drag?
No, we have video footage of that, and I actually did do it. It wasn't the greatest, and it likely will never see the light of day on an actual show, but I can do some stuff, and you know, hopefully when things open up, I can get down to the training center some more and, you know, add a few more wrinkles to the arsenal. But yeah, we even tried to get me to do like a step up Hurricane Rana, and well, that turned into a flop down, land on the back of, you know, land on my back, and nope, not trying that again. I know my lane. I know that my strengths for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I mean, I think that's fair. Like, I mean, it's not everybody's job on the wrestling card to be Kurt Angle or Chris Benoit. You know, like,
no,
there's got to be some room for, you know, bigger dudes like, you know, Big Daddy V or like Earthquake. You know,
what? And it's great. It's I like having that lane. I fit in that lane right now. I'm hoping to maybe, you know, not fit in completely, but there is a time and a place where I can elevate things. And it's definitely when I'm in there with some performers that bring that kind of stuff out of me. Like, I've been pushed further than I ever thought I could go in some of my matches. Like, I had some of my better matches been with like heavy metal. He himself and Big Jess, That's why they're top talent. They can pull stuff out of you. You have no ideas even there.
Yeah, I love working with guys like Metal and Jess and, you know, those top tier guys, because like they get you to leave your comfort zone, and then when you we leave your comfort zone and it goes off well, like there's not a lot of better feelings than we tried that crazy shit and it worked. You know,
like it's definitely a learning experience. It's definitely eye opening. Actually, the first time I wrestled with heavy metal would have been 2007, I want to say, back with WCCW, I think it was, in I think Vermillion. And yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll join the tag division and me and you can wrestle Metal and Jess at some point. That'll be fun.
Oh, Jesus. I think he has enough belts, okay?
It's true. He probably does. Let's is there I'm gonna ask you just like one more before we go and hit your social medias here, because we are at the we are just past the hour point now. So I do like to ask everyone though, if there's can you give me three local names who you would like to wrestle like within the next year that you think you could put on a great performance with?
Three local names? Oh man.
They don't have to be RCW guys. Like, if you want to like step out and be like, yeah, I want to wrestle Michael Richard Blaze, like, that's cool. Like, go ahead and say that.
There's so many people. Like, it's honestly hard to say. Like, I like to think that I can have an entertaining match with pretty much anybody I'm in there with. Like, I really enjoyed working with like guys like KB6 and Metal and, you know, Big Jess. There's always fantastic working with those guys. Holy crap.
Have you ever wrestled against Sheik?
Sheik Akbar Shabazz?
Yeah.
I have not, actually. I've been in like a couple of different little training sessions where he's been there at the same time working on stuff down at the old hangar by Nate there. But yeah, no, I sometimes I don't realize just how many different talents there are from like the local scene.
Yeah.
I think somebody like, I think Reed Matthews, like Thickness would be a fun match to see against Barricade.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to work with MRB. And yeah. I don't know if I've seen, MRB work with somebody with my kind of style per se, or my build, I suppose. Like he's been on like NXT with like Lars Sullivan and stuff like that. That's not even comparative, because that guy's a monster. Mm-hmm. But like on the local level, I haven't really seen him work much with bigger guys. I would love to have a chance to work with MRB, and no doubt that he can would bring one hell of a match out of me, no doubt.
I think that just like definitely two guys that come to mind who I think you would have a great match with are, of course, Sheik, and then Giant O'Ryan. I think you and Giant O'Ryan could have a really great like.
Yeah, he's actually like, impressed quite a bit. Yeah,
yeah, he's I wrestled him, and it is like it's terrifying because he's huge. But
yeah, like, he a big boy.
Yeah,
he
you're not exactly a small guy yourself, so I think it would be an interesting like clash of styles, like all the crazy stuff like he would legitimately be able to like lift you up and do to you, and seeing some of that stuff would be crazy. You guys could have a really fun match.
That's a little terrifying, not gonna lie. I'd be open to having a match with Giant O'Ryan, with him, Nasty Nate, anybody. Like, just
Nasty Nate would be fun too.
Nasty Nate would be great. I would definitely love to have a match, even if it has to be out of town, where Thaddeus would be either my manager or my opponent's manager, because I think we need to do something there.
Oh, that was one of the things I brought up with Thaddeus multiple times during our 3-hour podcast, was that I wanted to wrestle him.
he took a Barricade ass whooping. I don't know if he told you about that on the podcast, but
it's entirely possible. It was a long podcast, folks.
he was the best man at my wedding, so. Yeah,
We definitely talked about the party at Northern Chicken.
Oh, sweet Lord Jesus!
Yeah,
you don't even know. Oh, he knows, but
100%. It was a good time, and I'm glad that you're still happily married. So.
Oh yeah. me too.
100%. Let's get your social media plugs out of the way. Where can people get a hold of you if they would like to either book Barricade for their show, or perhaps need some graphic design work done for their wrestling federation?
On Facebook is Barricade, or Twitter at Barricade PW. I've got Instagram. I don't really use it a whole lot. My wife and I actually have a company locally here, Beauty and the Bearcade Creations, where I make like my own custom merch. I can make custom stuff for other people. I do graphic design, video editing. I've done even some voiceover stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much everything.
Okay, so hit up Bearcade on those social media platforms that he just mentioned, and get yourself hooked up. I mean, you'll get a fantastic in-ring talent or somebody that will contribute to your show, like for the graphics and stuff. Because like I say, like there's not a lot of things that can ruin a good wrestling show worse than like just really trash graphics, you know.
Trash graphics and trash production.
Yeah, like you go to a show and it's like, okay, there's no ring apron, and the poster was basically like a cardboard cutout of like some pictures that somebody like clearly nabbed off the internet and just pasted onto a blank background with like, you know.
Yeah, buddy.
Don't get me wrong, the show is probably still going to be a lot of fun, but you know, it's you're definitely gonna leave going, well, that was kind of a rinky-dink operation. But if you have skilled guys on your graphics and stuff like guys, then that can definitely take down that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm trying to say. Anyway,
if I can't do it, I can figure out who can.
Yeah, and I mean that is another thing, like just networking and stuff in wrestling. Yeah, talk to my boy here if you're looking for any of that sort of stuff. And Bearcade, thank you very much for finally coming and doing the podcast. It's been a long time in the making, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Alrighty.
All right. Take care, brother.
Yeah.